This was a week that God blessed his children. I had an appointment at VA, and one I wasn't too particular about going to because of urologists. And I drove up like I normally do and got parked, left my car, and they didn't move it. They left my truck there. I found out that they left my truck where I had parked it, right in line. And I went in. Before I got to the front door, the security guard, he saluted me and says, "Have a good day, sir." I said, "That's strange." I walked in, the front desk was right there, and the guy was in a wheelchair. He says, "How you doing this morning, sir?" I said, "I'm doing fine, and yourself?" And before I could get around, walk around the aisle that I need to go, another lady says, "How in the world are you this morning? Looking well." I said, "I am doing wonderful." And I started making my way down the aisle. And when I went down the aisle, everybody, the guy was sitting on that. And you know, people, when you walk down the aisle in VA, they usually turn their head. They don't want to speak. You know, but this one spoke. He says, "How you doing, sir?" I said, "Huh." I said, "I'm doing fine. And how about you?" "Hey, yeah, I'm making it." I said, "That's good." Walked down, and another person met me coming up the aisle. Says, "How you doing this morning?" I said, "I'm doing fine. How about you?" "I'm doing good." So, and that kept on, and I was a little bit early, so I walked and sat down. I didn't buy any coffee, and I just sat down in the cafeteria. And I was about from here to the window there from the aisle with people walking down. And it was about 5 minutes or so, a guy walked in and said, "Pastor Martin!" And kept walking. I said, "I don't know him." He didn't look familiar to me. And I turned around, wasn't nobody sitting nowhere near me. And by the time I could answer him back, he was gone. I said, "What in the world is that?" Anyway, I said, "Well, I'm early. Let me go on up to my appointment." So I went on upstairs to my appointment. And as crowded as the room was, always I'm early. So I knew I had to be sitting there for a while. And I sat down about 2 minutes. And the nurse came in and says, "Mr. Martin, Eric Martin?" I said, "Here I am." Coming right on back. Got my blood pressure, weight, and everything. She said, "Well, you go back and sit in the lobby. And your doctor somebody would be getting you, calling you soon." No sooner than I got back and sat down, Martin? I said, "Eric Martin?" He said, "Martin?" I said, "Eric Martin? Because a lot of you to go up there and be somebody else." He never called me like that. He said, "Yeah, Eric, come on back here, man. How you doing?" I said, "I'm doing wonderful." So I went back and he said, and the doctor said, "You be in room 4. So I went in room 4, sat down and told a lot of information about things that were happening, going on. So anyway, to make a long story short, I came back out, went into the room where the examiner had to do some other things, and they wanted to see if I could do it myself. And I said, "Yeah," because on my record, I had been doing it one time before. So in other words, okay, I came back, I said, "Lord, you know, what is going on?" He says, didn't say anything right then. I went back out, and usually I just leave my cane in the truck. I did. I left it because I keep tripping over it. God don't want me to get used to that thing. So rather than fall down and keep hurting myself, and I went out there, and I always tell him, I says, "Look, I give him a little ticket," and he said, "Where are you?" She said, "I said, well, you tell me where the truck is, and I go get it myself." And she said, "Yeah, right there." They never moved it. Right at the front door. God is good. Because I sure didn't feel like at that time walking out in that parking lot, and if I wait for them, they take, you know, a while because a lot of people are in front of you. And God is just God is good. This must have been a week for God blessing his people. And I wanted to continue being the week after this and after that for God's blessing his people. And so I thought about a lot of things. Well, let me give you the title is, "Let's Go for a Ride on the Authority of Jesus." Amen. Seems like y'all has already started riding. See, Jesus Christ today like to offer you a, Robin, like to offer you a piggyback ride. Reason I called her name out of it because she always has some expression, somebody give a testimony, I'm piggybacking on her. So Jesus is going to offer us a piggyback ride. He wants to offer you the opportunity to piggyback on his authority.
Amen.
Everything about Jesus' life and ministry is special. And in Luke chapter 7, verse 1 through 10, it's something very unique about that. I said it because according to verse 9, I'm not going in order now. Because of verse 9, it says, after he has the conversation with the centurion, it says, now Jesus heard this. He marveled at him. There's only a couple other times that I recall where in Scripture where Jesus was marveling. And that was one of the times was in Matthew 6:6, where it says, and he marveled. Some versions said he used the word amazed at their unbelief. See, he was shocked. You see me doing this, you see me doing that, you see me achieving all of this, and you still don't believe. And I'm just shocked. I'm amazed. I marvel at that. What he calls his great faith in chapter 9, he says, 7 to 9 says, he marveled at his belief. That's in Luke. Verse 9, he marveled at his belief. This man had great faith.
Amen.
So Jesus wanted to give you and me the opportunity to shock him this morning. He wants to, we want to blow his mind this morning. We want to amaze him this morning from this story. And I believe God is already starting to work.
Amen.
But what you may think blew his mind may surprise you. Here's the scene. I know, sister, you're talking about starting a story play. So I'm going to give you a good story. Here's the scene. The centurion was a mid-level, I guess, officer in the Roman army. And he was over 100 soldiers. And the centurion, like today, I guess it got it to centurion from the name century, which equals our centurion is 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the century is 100 years. He oversaw 100 soldiers and a legion of 6,000 soldiers. So the Roman legion is 6,000. He was responsible for 100 of these 6,000, like a captain or a major in our army.
Mm-hmm.
He had a servant who got sick and was about to die. He says that the centurion heard about Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now, word you've gotten out of this Jesus, is he said he heard about him. This Jesus is something else. The blind see, the lame walk, the dumb talk. I mean, this Jesus is blowing folks' minds with all the good things he was doing. So he sends a couple of Jewish leaders to ask Jesus to come save his servant who was about to die. So now that's unusual in itself because the Jews couldn't stand and hated the Romans. But this Roman, he was cut out of a different cloth because the Jewish leader says he loved our nation. He even went into his pocket to build our synagogue. He says, this guy has loved our nation, and you ought to go help him. Talking to Jesus, he said, you ought to go help him. So Jesus is on his way to this guy, centurion's house, who has made a prayer request. Jesus is on his way. He says he's gotten the prayer request. Looks like the answer is on the way.
Hallelujah.
Jesus got the prayer request, and he turned around and says, I'm starting to step in toward his house. Jesus is on the way. However, it looks like the answer is on the way. However, Jesus, before Jesus gets to the house, the centurion sends a message. He says, at the end of verse 6, he says, "I am not worthy for you to come under my roof." Don't come any further. He sends some of his friends and says, "Tell Jesus, don't come any closer. I am not worthy." So one of the things we need to take a note as we get into this a little bit deeper, the centurion, he may had a lot of money. He may have had a little clout, a lot of clout. But in the presence of Jesus,
hallelujah,
he was a nobody.
Hallelujah.
So I don't care how high you may get, or how much money you may have, or how much clout you may have accumulated, in the presence of Jesus,
hallelujah,
you are not worthy. So this highfalutin centurion understood. He knew his place in the presence of Jesus. He said, "Don't come any closer to my house. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. I'm not worthy for you to come." But wait a minute. You just asked him to come. You just asked him to come save your servant. But now you're telling him not to come? Well, what do you want him to do? The centurion says in verse 7, "I'm not worthy, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed." The key to this whole story is verse 8. He says in verse 8, I need to read it again, "For I am also a man placed under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it." Now Jesus heard this and he marveled. Let's parse this for a minute. Let's analyze this. He said, "I am also a man under authority." Now let's back up to one word he said. He said, "Also." I am also a man under authority. When you use the word "also," you mean like something else. I am also something else. Or in this case, I am also like someone else. I am also like a man under authority. Well, who was he talking to? And who was he talking about? He was talking about Jesus. He says, "Jesus, I'm like you. I am just like you. I'm a man under authority." Why does he say that? Word has gotten out about Jesus doing all these miracles, all these miraculous things. Again, the blind see, the lame walk. Folks that couldn't talk begin to talk. Even folks were raised from the dead. Jesus is doing some big things, some big stuff on the earth. But the centurion says, "I know how you're doing it." He said, "I know how you're doing that. You're doing all that stuff you're doing because you're under authority. Because I am also." You are also. You're pulling all these things off because there's somebody over you that's allowing you to do this. You are under authority. I also. Jesus Christ in his humanity operated this by virtue of his deity, but by virtue of his submission. Jesus says in John 5:19 these words, "Therefore," Jesus answered and said unto them, "truly, truly," I said, when he said "truly, truly" twice, it's time to pay attention. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." And verse 20, For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will be, catch this word, marveled. Some variations say amazed. So let me give you the principle, and then we're going to break it down a little further. Because this is a principle that will give you access to the miraculous. You cannot exercise legitimate authority over what you're supposed to be over unless you learn to be under what God has put you over. If you are not under what God has put you under, you can't ask God to help you to deal with stuff that's underneath you. To put it another way, God, if you are not under someone in authority, perfect authority, but you are over something else, you're over something else, you instead something else that you're over can cause havoc in your life. And if you are not under the right authority, you can't get any help from taking that stuff that's under, that you're over. See, if you're out of alignment with that which is legitimately supposed to be over you, you lost heaven's authority to be able to boss situations that's supposed to be under you. If you rebel against the authority, if you rebel against the authority up here, here is not going to help you with your situation down here. I'm a man under authority, he said, the centurion said. I'm over stuff because I tell stuff what to do. And tell them to go, they go. I tell them to stay, they stay. I tell them stuff what to do. And the reason I can tell them stuff what to do is because I tell them what to do because something over me is telling me how to do it. What to do. Let me say that again. You cannot have authority over unless you are submitted under. And because the most people do not understand this theological principle of authority, their prayers don't get answered. Victory doesn't get achieved. Power doesn't get recognized. Changes are not made in spite of prayers being prayed, because the prayers are being prayed out of alignment. That we're not properly under what we should be under, or we're not properly over what we ought to be over, or both. And once you are misaligned in God's kingdom program, what you have done is cut the cord of the transfer of authority. The centurion says, because I know how this thing works, you don't even have to come here. Just talk. Because I know you're operating under, in Jesus' case, perfect authority. In Luke 9:1, we read this. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. So guess how they got authority? He gave it. He gave it, so they had it. They had it over the very things that was trying to have them. And many of us have things that are trying to have us, trying to own us, control us, dictate to us. But because Jesus gave it, they had it. And because they had it, they could use it. Alignment is the key to not only answered prayers, but spiritual authority. Seeing heaven come down in history, seeing heaven transform history, and putting the devil under our feet instead of him boxing you upside the head. He knew Jesus' access to God. Jesus says, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth." Matthew 28, 18. All authority. I'm in charge now. So the alignment to Jesus Christ is critical if you want heaven to join you in history. Colossians 3:17, it says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So do it unto Jesus' authority." Coming up, I like clothes. People didn't think I like clothes because I didn't dress or buy clothes. It's just that I didn't have the money to buy clothes. And I would take just the bare minimum that I had and wash it and all that to be decent when I go out. Joined the Army, I was making $120 a month. And I didn't worry about spending any money because I had a nice green uniform, green socks, green underwear, green t-shirt. I was decked out. But it was the same uniform over and over again. And before I left Vietnam, I was there for 16 months, and before I left, I had an opportunity to get some clothes made. Y'all remember, well, young people may not know, but Pastor Tony might know. Remember, you might know too. You're not that much. All right, I know you young. You just look young. You ain't fooling me. Remember shark skin suits? Oh, man. I believed Jesus. Everything was Jesus, God, because I prayed before I got there. I looked for a place to pray after I got there in the middle of a battlefield. The place that I thought was a place of prayer was where the donut dollars met, and the priests didn't do no praying for nobody. All they wanted us to do was come see these donut dolly girls and drink coffee. That wasn't for me. I went one time and I found my own area to pray. God was over me. I let him stay there because he's saving my life. And so he made it possible for me to get these shark skin suits made before I got home. Because when I get home, oh, man, I had a black one. I had a green one. When the sun hit it, it may see a little gold sparkle through it. You know what I'm talking about. I had a blue one, and I had a silver one. But not on top of that, I had a shirt made to match each one, and I happened to put my name in it. Boy, you couldn't tell me nothing. I got home, moved back to Richmond. The place that I was staying, I had a little room over Northside off of Woodrow Avenue. And so a room was available. I got the same room back. Put my clothes in, went to work. I said, well, every time I step out, I'm going to be clean. Went to church every Sunday. You couldn't tell me anything. Went to work, came home. It was a Friday. Looked in my closet. They were gone. Because I didn't know it then. But I understand that now I had stepped out of alignment. I forgot about Jesus. He allowed me to purchase the clothes, but then them clothes took his place. This is what happens to you when you're out of alignment. I was out of alignment, but I quickly got back in. Things didn't come back as fast as I wanted them to, but they did come back. Remember the little hub? It's a place downtown called the Hub. I think that was the name of it. I went and got me pair of pants and shirt. I paid $3 a week. That's how I got half the stuff, a little few of the things put back. But I'm telling you, it's something when you step out of alignment. It's something when you have God put his son. He was under the son. We are under him. That's why it blessed me so much to see all the nice testimonies where people were blessed, better than blessed. But I can tell you, if you want to stay blessed, things come into your life that throws you out of alignment. You can be blessed. I was blessed to have start getting clothes back, to get those clothes. But it's not. It don't take much to step out of alignment. When you step out of alignment, don't expect God to answer your prayers, because you're out of alignment. And if you're working, I worked. And I was at Philip Morris then. I was on 2nd Everett. Did my job. Did everything I was supposed to do. I didn't care what the supervisor said. I did what they expected me to do. Because, you know, I was working for Jesus. You know, I wasn't working for man. They allowed me, he blessed me with that job. So I worked like I was, like Jesus had his eyes on me. One of my supervisors didn't, I don't know why he didn't like me or whatever, but he did something that would take a lot of money from my family. And I wasn't going to have it. I politely took him in the office. Took him in the office. I didn't allow the union man to say anything. The supervisor, my floor supervisor, to say anything. The Lord told me how to approach it. I walked in and says, "Good afternoon, gentlemen. What I'm going to say don't need be answered. But I just come here to let you know that this, it'll be my word against my mechanical supervisor. It'll be my word against his. So let me make this short. I have a job to do I got to get back to." I says, "In the face of all you people, this will not happen to me again. You will not," because he lied. He told me I couldn't work 7 days. I was a younger fixer. I was on that line that worked 7 days. He said I couldn't work it. But I said, I knew better than that. So rather than work, he told me I couldn't work seven. He said, "Choose which day you want." I says, "I work Saturday if I had to choose, because church was Sunday." And I came back to work and found out that a friend of his, another fixer, worked his day, and he worked my day. And that's why I took him to the office. He got upset, sent me to the basement to work. And I was working on cigarette machines, it's Parliament. The Lord told me, when I went to the basement, he says, "I want you to love them." I went down there. Every machine that the operator needed some work on, I did. The other fixers, the line fixers, still sitting in, they wouldn't move. So I just jumped on up and went from machine to machine. I said, "I'm here to do a job. I am working for Jesus. I'm not working for them." And I did that, and I was tired because I was working all night long. Because out of 10 machines that was down there, I was going for every one of them that need. They break down because it's Parliament running that charcoal, and they break down a lot. And so I went to lunch. After 2 weeks, I went to lunch. The Lord told me 2 weeks to love them for 2 weeks. I went to lunch. I came back from lunch. The fixers were down there, looked at me and said, "Where were you?" I said, "What are you talking about?" "Oh, I'm sorry. You weren't there, because it was all about you anyway." All slavish and everything, because I knew. I said, what in the world's going on? I didn't know. Then the floor supervisor came here, my mechanical supervisor, but this is another one. He says, from here on out, I don't want you to leave this break room. You go out there and let the other fixers go and handle their own lines, but don't you dare leave this place. Just sit here. I said, wow. That was hard to do because I was always used to going out. So I sat there a couple of days. Then the supervisor that I took to the office came down and says, look, I'm going to send you up to another floor. You know, because he wanted to see me struggle. He said, I'm going to send you up to another floor. But I said, what floor? He said, you want to go to the second floor. That was where they make the filters. All my buddies that I talked to were on that floor. Those machines don't break down that much. He thought I was, you know, man, I had smooth sailing. When you're in line alignment, and I was pretty much over the operators for the machines being fixed. So I treated them all nice. I didn't get mad or angry or anything for that 2 weeks, but I worked. They worked me. But it was the operators that started complaining about their own fixer. And the floor supervisor was getting all, and that's how God operates. He thought he was still getting on me. I want you to get up, go to the second floor, and I did. And it was just a piece of cake. When you're in alignment, God blesses you. Anybody got any dying situations going on now? It is dying. Well, you just need to make sure that you're in alignment. Your alignment has to be straight so Jesus can be shocked. So Jesus can look at you and says, and be amazed. That he can marvel because he has never seen such great faith. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it talks about Jesus. He says, who being in the form of God, thought it was not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. But he became a servant, so he was equal to God, but he came underneath the Father. Equal to God, but he came underneath the Father. Well, what did the Father do? Well, it goes on to say, for God now has highly exalted him, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Because he became under God, God exalted him for everything that was up, so everything else was under him. That puts us under Jesus Christ. If you are unwilling to come under legitimate authority God places over you, see, it goes on. It goes a lot more than this. It goes into more detail. It talks about the father, the wife being submissive to the husband. But we didn't need that here today. So I left out that part. But if you, you may get that part another day. But if... yeah, okay. Your wife is here and my wife is here. Martha's wife is here. Avante, I'm not picking on you today, but your wife is here. I don't want to start no mess. Jock, your wife is here. I ain't starting no mess in here today. Because God came under authority, God exalted him under him. and now he is over everything. If you are unwilling to come under the legitimate authority God places over you, then you do not get God's help in what is underneath you. When God heard this, when Jesus heard this, he marveled at him, talking about the centurion. And he turned and said to the crowd who was following, so now he is talking to everybody who was there, just like I'm talking to everybody that's here. He turned to the crowd and he says, did you see that? Talking about the centurion faith. I said to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith. I got an uncircumcised Gentile who's got more faith than my church folk in Israel. So you see why this is so important. People in Israel, disciples, walked with him, seen him do all these miracles. And then again in Mark 6 and 6, he marveled, but it was because of their unbelief. I've got somebody who doesn't even understand theology on the broad scope who got more faith. So the question is, who you are better identified with? You better identify with somebody who's in alignment, because they're the ones who've had access to authority in prayer, because it was prayer that the centurion actually said. He says, come heal my servant. That was a prayer request. It says in verse 10, when those who heard, who had been sent, returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Now, when Jesus didn't go to the crib. Avante, he didn't go to the crib. Jesus didn't go to the house. When the one he sent came back to the house, the servant said, he is healed. Now, this is important. I don't want you to miss this point. Jesus is on the way. The centurion sends some guy to tell him, don't come here. I'm not worthy. But if you will just talk, speak the word, that would be good enough. Because I know how this authority thing works. Jesus is shocked. And he says, wow, I'm just stupefied. They go back to the man and to the house, and the man is healed. The servant is healed. So what's my point? Jesus believes in long distance prayers. Because he wasn't physically there. He didn't physically go to the house. He just sent the word to the house, even though he was absent from that location. Now you have to understand something. All the other miracles Jesus did, he was there. Now, why do you need to know that? Because he is not here. He is just not here. He is seated at the right hand side of the Father. But the good news is he does long distance prayer answers. He doesn't have to go here to get stuff done. That's why I love Hebrews 7 and 25, you don't have to turn there. It says, Jesus, our great high priest, ever lives as an intercessor for believers. He ever lives to invade our circumstances. And he doesn't have to be there to get stuff done. Because if you are in alignment, you have access to authority even with the absence of Jesus Christ. Because he is not here, excuse me, but his word is. And his word is powerful. And that is all we need if you want to get your alignment straight. So I'm going to challenge you to go to the for a piggyback ride. Because Jesus wants you to ride on the backs of his authority, his principle. I want to challenge you to get in alignment. And if you're in alignment, stay in alignment. Galatians 2:20 reads, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer who I live. And then he comes with a zinger. That's misquoted. He says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Most people say, in the Son of God, but the text says, I live by faith of the Son of God. That's a big difference. I not only have faith in him, I have the faith of him. In other words, I'm going for a piggyback ride. I'm going to believe that if I get on Jesus' back and ride this horse, because I'm underneath his authority, that his faith will cover my faith, giving me great faith in a situation I got to deal with in my life. So I know you're going to leave here and you're going to be faced with some situations that you may be going on in your life. But here's what you ought to do. Ride on. You should say this. Ride on, King Jesus. Ride on, King Jesus. Because when I leave here, I feel good. But the problem comes when something happens. Satan allows something to happen, and it's under you because you're over him. You have authority over him. Why? Because God has given us all authority. They had faith and they had authority because Jesus gave it to them. Remember the disciples? They could heal everything that would come up against them. They were over even death. That's why this is important. You are to call him and be aligned under him so you have the authority of him over the things that has been placed, but what he placed over you. So that now you walk with your head up high because you walk as a victor. Not as a victim. You're no longer a victim because you are in alignment with Christ. Somebody, Miss Lottie, I want to pray for you because I know about your daughter. I'm through with this right now. But the Lord is doing and wants to do such great things here. He wants to do such a thing if we can't let stuff get us.